Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasyavatara karmani grinanti hi asmad adaya na yam vidanti tatvena tasmai bhagavate Namaha Yasyavatara Karmani Gayanti Hyasmad Adayaha Nayam Vidanti Tatvena Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha Yasyavatara Karmani Gayanti Yasmadadayaha Nayam Vidanti Tatvena Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha Yasyavatara Karmani Gayanti Yasmadadayaha Nayam Vidanti Tatvena Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha Yasyavatara Karmani Vidanti Yasmadayaha Nayam Vidanti Tatvena Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha Yasyavatara Karmani Adayaha Nayam Vatvena Bhagavate Namaha Yasyavatara Karmani Nati asmaradaya Anvidanti tatvena Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha Yasyavatara Karmani Nati asmaradaya Anvidanti tatvena That's my Bhagavate Namaha, Vaishnavis. Yasyavatara Karmani, Dayati Asmaradaya, Nayam Vidanti Tatvena, That's my Bhagavate Namaha. Karmani Vyatana Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha Syavatara Karmani Gayatya Smaradaya Nayamyanti Yasya whose avatara incarnation karmani activities gayanti chant in glorification. He indeed asmat adayah, persons like us, na do not, yam whom vidanti no tatvena, cent percent as he is. Tasmai unto him, Bhagavate, unto the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose incarnations and activities are chanted by us for glorification, though He can hardly be fully known as He is. Purport. It is said that the transcendental name, form, quality, pastimes, paraphernalia, personality, etc., cannot possibly be perceived by the gross materialistic senses. But when the senses are purified by the process of hearing, chanting, remembering, and worshiping the lotus feet of the holy deity, etc., the Lord reveals Himself proportionately to the advancement of the quality of devotional service. Ye yata mam prapadyante, Bhagavad Gita 4:11. One should not expect the Lord to be an order-supplying agent who must be present before us as soon as we desire to see Him. We must be ready to undergo the prescribed devotional duties, following the path shown by the predecessors in the disciplic succession from Brahma, Narada, and similar authorities. As the senses are progressively purified by bona fide devotional service, the Lord reveals His identity according to the spiritual advancement of the devotee. But one who is not in the line of devotional service can hardly perceive Him simply by calculations and philosophical speculations. Such a hard worker can present a jugglery of words before an audience, but can never know the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His personal feature. The Lord has clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita that one can know Him only by devotional service. No one can know the Lord by any puffed up material process of challenge, but the humble devotee can please the Lord by his earnest devotional service. The Lord reveals Himself proportionately before the devotee. Lord Brahma therefore offers His respectful obeisances as a bona fide spiritual master and advises us to follow the process of Shravana and Kirtana. Simply by this process, or simply by hearing and chanting the glories of the activities of the Lord's incarnations, one can certainly see within himself the identity of the Lord. We have already discussed this subject in Volume 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with this verse. Tat shradadana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyanti atmani chatmanam bhaktya shruta grihitaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:12. The conclusion is that one cannot know the Supreme Personality of Godhead fully by any method, but He can be seen and felt partially by the devotional service process of hearing, chanting, etc. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada, as he often does, is paraphrasing verses from various Vaishnava scriptures. Now, for example, the first line of the purport, it is said that the transcendental name, form, quality, pastimes, paraphernalia, personality, etc., cannot possibly be perceived by the gross material senses. So there's one verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami that says, Ata Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhavad Grayam Indriyai, which means you can't perceive the transcendental name, etc., nam adi, name, form, pastimes, etc., through the gross material senses, nabhavad grayam indriyai. But how can he be seen? Sevan mukhe jiva dao, swayam eva sparatyada. So, again, and then Srila Prabhupada says in the next sentence of the purport, he paraphrases that. But when the senses are purified by the process of hearing, chanting, etc., then the Lord reveals himself. You know, we don't perceive him. He reveals himself. But what he kind of adds to that verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the idea of proportionately he reveals himself, proportionately according to the level of advancement in devotional service of the particular devotee. So this purification of the senses is necessary in order to perceive things in proper perspective and to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's the purpose of bhakti, the process of devotional service. It's stated, Sarva Padi Vinir Muktam Tatpara Trena Nirmalam Rishikene Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. That's also from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, but he quoted it from the Narada Pancharatra. So that means we have to become free of all our upadis. We have our eternal spiritual identity, Jivara Sarupa Hoy Krishnara Nitya Das, Lord Chaitanya said. By nature, our constitutional position is eternal servant of Krishna. But we've covered that with upadis, different other kinds of identifications. I am American, I am Russian, I am Chinese, I am this, I am that. And because of that, our senses become absorbed in the gross and subtle forms of matter. And because of that, we remain entangled in the cycle of birth and death. So, liberation from samsara, from birth and death, is actually the process of getting rid of all of the false identifications that we have and becoming situated in our identification as eternal servants of Krishna. So it's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Muktir Hitvanyata Rupam Swarupena Vyavastati. The process of liberation is one of giving up these false identifications, making our primary identification in terms of the material, the particular material bodily vehicle that we now occupy, and becoming situated in the swarupa, the original form, the original spiritual form of the living entity, which has spiritual senses. We're not formless. We're not going to merge into the great white light. We have spiritual senses and spiritual form. And in that spiritual form, with that spiritual senses, we'll be able to perceive the personality of Godhead. So practically every sentence of this purport is like a recitation of some verse. But one of the main points Srila Prabhupada makes later on in the purport is that, as he says, you know, Krishna can be known only by devotional service. So that's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. So I can only be known as I am by devotional service. So we should be understanding that in the course of our practice of devotional service, Krishna is gradually revealing himself, different aspects of himself to us. Of course, the first appreciation we have of Krishna is that Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Britya. There's only one Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's Krishna. Everyone else is Krishna's servant. So that is our fundamental mistake, you know, to try to think that we are independent enjoyers. That mentality is what keeps us, what has brought us to, and what keeps us in the material world. So, you know, we can't approach Krishna like he is our servant. Like Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, he's not your order supplier, you know, that you just snap your fingers and he's supposed to appear and get you whatever you want. That's not his position. Natasya karyam karnam chavidyate. He has no duty to anyone. He's independent. Nobody can order him around. At least nobody in the material world can order him around. Maybe some personality like Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, can ask him to do something. But as far as anyone on the material platform, they cannot expect that Krishna will simply be their order supplier. So Krishna should first be understood as the supreme controller, and we should understand ourselves as Krishna's servants. Not even directly the servant of Krishna, but servant of the servant of the servant. Servant of Krishna's representative, the bona fide spiritual master, which Srila Prabhupada also mentions in this purport. Says this knowledge has to be received through the proper channel. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu. This knowledge comes down through disciplic succession. And it's always been like that. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. The spiritual master is aware of the truth. And you can receive, you know, if you approach, question, and serve the spiritual master, then that is the way that one can perceive the absolute truth through that process of devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada, he is the Shiksha Guru, at least, of everyone who enters the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So by service, that is how we will realize Krishna. Whatever realization that we get will be only through the process of devotional service. And, you know, there's one pastime from Krishna's Dwarka Leela that's recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. And that is his dealings with Jambavan in regard to the Shamantaka jewel. So there was this king named Satrajit who got from the sun god this jewel called the Shamantaka jewel. And he put it around his neck, and this jewel was glowing just like the sun. So he entered the city of Dwarka, and all the citizens of Dwarka thought that the sun god himself had come to their city. So they all went to Krishna, said, "The sun god has come, the sun god has come, Surya has come." And Krishna said, no, that's Satrajit. He's just got that jewel on. So this jewel could produce unlimited amounts of gold. It's an amazing jewel. And Krishna asked Satrajit to give it to Ugrasen, who is the king, the ruler of Dwarka and the Yadu dynasty. So Satrajit said, no, I can't do that. I it was given to me, I've got to keep it. So he kept it. Then once his brother took the jewel and went riding off on his horse into the forest around the city, and a lion attacked him, killed him and took the jewel. And then Jambavan, who was long before that an associate of Lord Ramachandra, kind of like the Vanaras, the monkey soldiers, like Hanuman. This Jambavan, sometimes he's described as a bear, but you know, he was an associate of Lord Ramachandra. And he was living in this cave. He had his children there in the cave with him. And he gave the jewel to his kids, his son in particular, to play with. So meanwhile, back in Dwarka, people are starting to wonder, where's Prasena? You know, that's the name of Satyajit's brother who got killed. And they think Krishna and Satyajit had a big argument about that jewel. So rumors started going around that Krishna had somehow or other did something to Prasena to get back at Satyajit. So to clear his name, Krishna took a bunch of the citizens with him, and they were searching for Prasena. And eventually they found his body and the dead horse. And then they found the dead lion that Jambavan had killed. And then they thought, okay, this Jambavan has it in the cave. So Krishna went into the cave. And, you know, he saw the child playing with the jewel, so he went to get it. But Jambavan saw this and thought, what's this man, this stranger doing, approaching my child like that? And, you know, they began to fight. He didn't understand it was Krishna. You know, he just thought, who is this strange person coming into my cave? So they fought. And actually the fighting went on for 28 days. But then finally, you know, he had superhuman powers, this Jambavan. And finally he understood, this is not an ordinary person that I'm fighting, otherwise he wouldn't be able to stand up to me. There's only one person who could fight me like this and not be defeated by me, and that is Lord Ramachandra, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of course, who is an avatar of Krishna. So he finally understood, yes, it's the Supreme Lord. You know, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And Krishna book, when Srila Prabhupada describes this, he says that by, you know, Krishna wants to get service from his devotees. And sometimes, he said, Krishna wants to fight. He enjoys fighting, wrestling. So he selects some devotee. Okay, you're going to fight me. So Jambavan was one of those. And so they fought. And that was Jambavan's service, to fight with Krishna. And by that service, by that wrestling with Krishna and carrying on that service, he finally realized Krishna, even though he didn't understand him at first. So we can take a lesson from that. We're all wrestling with our service to Krishna. Sometimes it's not easy. You have to struggle with it, to get the offering done on time, to be present, to, when it's your turn to perform some service, to preach go out and meet people. We have to struggle with it. But in that struggle, in that wrestling with these problems that come up in the process of devotional service, Krishna is reciprocating with us. He's revealing himself proportionally to our level of service, our level of advancement in devotional service. So we should be aware of that and see how Krishna's representative, like Srila Prabhupada or Krishna himself even, is reciprocating with us in our through our process of devotional service. So, a few minutes left. Any questions or comments? Seeing no questions, I'll defer to you.
Especially with this enlightening and enlivening story, which shows how, unless Krishna wants us to see him, we can't see him. It all depends upon his mercy. But my point that I wanted to make is because Jambavan felt some guilt when he realized that he was fighting with his master. He felt he wanted to do something in reciprocation to the Lord since he got the association of the Lord. So what he did is he presented his daughter, Jambavati.
That's right.
Jambavati was a beautiful woman, and Krishna saw her, and he accepted her as his next wife. So it shows you the desire on the heart of Jambavati that he wasn't going to just drop the whole thing. He wanted definitely to offer something so that he can maintain a connection with Krishna. Thank you again for your wonderful class.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, that he offered the jewel and his daughter. So Krishna took the jewel and went back to Dwarka and returned it to Satyajit. And, you know, Satyajit was a little bit embarrassed, you know, because Krishna had asked him before to give it up. So he said, okay, he was feeling remorseful, kind of like you said, Jambavan was feeling. So he said, okay, Krishna, you can have the jewel and you can also have as your wife Satyabhama, who's his daughter. So it's kind of like the same motivation. Brigapati Prabhu.
Any idea how a bear or a gorilla has a beautiful human daughter? Any idea on how a bear or a gorilla has a beautiful human daughter?
Well, they're not. When those kind of words are applied to Jambavan, it's not like it's an ordinary animal, like a gorilla or something. You know, just like when we call the Vanaras the monkey soldiers of Lord Ram. They're not ordinary monkeys. You know, they're a different type of being. Like Hanuman, you know, and the others, they also had mystic powers. They could change their shapes. They could do all kinds of things. So personalities are not like an ordinary animal. You know, they could apparently exist, you know, shift their forms.
So these Varanas or
like Hanuman is one of Varanas, or like bears, like Jampavan. So they live long time ago, like millions of years ago, they used to live here when Ramachandra was here. So is it some statement where they are now, where they are now situated in the universe? Is it still around, or is it some statement in the scriptures?
So his question is, we're talking about Vanaras and other such creatures that were around during the time of Lord Ram. Are they around today? And they're somewhere. They may not be in our immediate area, but they are somewhere. You know, Hanuman is somewhere, maybe in some other part of Jambudweep. We're in Bharatavarsha, which is part of Jambudweep, but Hanuman, I think, is present in one of the other varshas. So, and there are also people, populations in these different varshas. So they may be in some other part of Jambudweep. You could also, I mean, you could also take it that the sightings of creatures that people call Bigfoot or something like that, that they may be perhaps populations of those sorts, because they're very difficult to catch. Seems like they're able to disappear and appear, but that's maybe true, maybe not. Okay. Okay, final remark by...
addition. It's mentioned very clearly in the Ramayana where all these monkeys or vanaras are. They all went back to Godhead with Lord Ramachandra. That was their blessing, that was their prize for undergoing so much pain and suffering in the war against Ravan.
Okay. All right. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.